Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, February the 7th of 2022. I'm your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan. We just got back from what I would call a rather unfortunate situation that I would much rather not discuss. But we're on the air, and so it's good to be with you. I hope that you're getting, I just hope that you're expecting for God to move. But hey, the Holy Spirit Conference in San Francisco was very powerful. I watched a lot of it. I wouldn't say I've watched all of it yet, but I've watched a lot of it. Now, go away, telemarketer. That George thing or whatever. Go away. I don't care if you're from Atlanta. I don't care if you're from Florida. I don't care where you're from. I don't care if you're from Texas. When I'm online trying to do my radio show, they can call into the number to my show for my show, but I'd much rather them not call into my personal phone number because I'm doing my phone, my show from my phone. I almost said 700 WLW. I wish. Because I honestly feel like that might be my favorite station in America now. After I got this radio that originally we got it because we had a CD player so that I could practice for like my music and stuff. But the AM part of it works, unlike my previous radio where the AM didn't work. And you may say, well, nowadays you could always listen to that certain Cincinnati station online, you know, on the app, on an app. My thing with that is, assuming they have an app, I'm going to look at that when the show is over. I wonder if there's a way on one of those apps to actually reset my location to Cincinnati so that I get the Cincinnati apps. I mean, ads. Because if I have to, I will. You can tell too, can't you? That if I have to, I will. You know what I mean? By set it, meaning on the device. You know what I mean? So that it can, on a certain radio app, I mean. Or if they have the app, the actual app for that particular station. Like rather than keep location turned off, it can show that you can make it so that actually, I wonder if it has a default setting on it that shows that if you disable location, that it just assumes that you're in Cincinnati. I'm curious. Because I've tried like different stations, you know, on TuneIn and that, but too often you get national ads, but I'd much rather hear the Cincinnati ads, to be honest. And it's one of my and I like Skyline Chili. They have this this thing called the three-way that is spaghetti, chili, and cheese. And then they have these really good conies. I haven't tried one yet. I need to. Turns out they have a Skyline in Florida, like 20 minutes from my hotel. And if you're listening, Mom, I already mapped it out where the Skyline is. I'm curious if their workers down there at Skyline Chili, Gulf to Bay Boulevard, whatever road that is in Clearwater, Florida. I wonder if they, there's some of those workers know what WLW is. A couple of them might. Shelly, do you bet a couple of them might know what that certain Cincinnati station is? And so, because after all, that is their big market is Cincinnati is where they're headquartered at. But anyhow, I do have fond memories of actually going down to Cincinnati for a Holy Spirit conference back in April of 99. Okay, I'm ready to go in. But do you see my hearing aid at all? It, like, fell out of my ear. Do you see it at all? It's
nope, I would have to get out and look. I don't have a light on in here.
But
let me go and look around your side.
To be honest, I really do have some of those memories of the conference. I don't remember what all he taught on, what all Dr. Barclay taught on, but I remember the hotel of the Woodfield. I remember the hotel, the pool in the hotel room of this, what was called the Woodfield Suites at the time. It is now a La Quinta Inn. It's in a part of town, in a little suburb type thing. It actually has a Cincinnati address, but it's in a place called Sharonville, Ohio. But like I said, it has a Cincinnati address, just east of Interstate 75, about like exit like 15 or 16. And as I said, I remember the pool, at least to me, seemed super big. I don't know if it was just because I was 9 years old or what, but to me, that pool seemed very big.
Nope.
How do you know it didn't fall?
I didn't see it, Mom. I don't even see it on you. Did you take it off?
It fell off. In here.
Okay, stand up. Let me look. Do you see anyone on you? On your radio show. Oh, it came behind you.
Sorry about that. Where is it? possible be right. Where was it?
Between the seat. Sure, turn off the light.
Okay.
Give me a key.
I turned flashlight on.
It won't go in. Okay, let's go.
Let me do it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you.
enforcement.
All right. Sorry about all that, folks, but we're getting it back together. No. But anyhow, we're back. I do want to let you know that next week, that in 2 weeks between the 21st and 23rd, I will be in Florida. And so I don't know yet how that's going to work when it comes to the show. I do hope to do at least one, but it won't necessarily be full length, but it'll be kind of a letting you know how it's going and everything else. So that's how it will be. Also, I want to remind you real quick about our PayPal. If you want to sow a seed, you can go online to paypal.com. And then in the search bar, you'll type in Rivers Shukla. Again, that is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. And the last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. I want you to keep in mind that there is a space between Rivers and Shukla. Also, the R, the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are both capitalized, so please keep that in mind if you would. And then the other thing I want to mention, you know, the verse that I want to sow into your life is where it says, my God shall supply all of my needs, your needs, according to his riches and glory. Not according to all this other stuff. Not according to who's in the White House, who's leading the country, not just the U.S., but these other countries too. No. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. That's what the Word of God says. And so I put my hope and trust in Jesus, not and all this other stuff. But if you put your hope and trust in Jesus, then you can receive everything that he has for you. Also keep in mind that 2022 is the year of double, which means double provision, double, just double. And I just know that God has big things for us. I truly believe that. It's not just something that I'm saying, thinking. No. He truly has big things planned for us. And so you can just know that. And so I'm a singer. Couple of songs and then get into the word, and then we'll I'll talk to you a little bit about the Super Bowl. But guess what, folks? Tonight is not the night that I am going to make my pick. I'm not going to do that until Wednesday night. But tonight, no. Tonight is not pick night. To be honest, I haven't even made the decision yet on what that pick will be. Do I have a wish? Yes. Do I think the wish will come true? We'll have to wait and see till Sunday night. I can tell you one thing. If I can, at least if I'm listening to the radio at any time during it, because of what team is in there, I would be listening to 700 WLW, home of the Bengals. And so no, I'm not saying that team is going to win. I'm not saying that's the team I want to win. But I do like their radio personalities. And there's this guy who does this Sunday night radio show host. His name is Bill Cunningham. They call him Willie, even. And he does this show called The Great American. He calls himself The Great American. And he does a nationally syndicated show live from Cincinnati, 700 WLW Studios, every Sunday night, between like 10 a.m. and 1, 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. I only listened to like the first hour, hour and a half last night, but I was talking about some good stuff. Honestly, I like the way he sees things. I really do. I enjoy his style a lot. And I'm not just saying that because of the station he's at. he does a one thing I will say I do wish is that their frequency snuck up here during the day, like it does to places like Toledo. Well, at least I'm sure it goes up to Findlay, I'm sure. Findlay, Ohio, of that state to the south, but he's a good, solid conservative. There's this other guy that I've heard on a couple weeknights this past week. It's just this past week that I started listening to that channel again, because I used to mess with it a bit when I was a bit younger back at, if you know who Bonnie Patrizovic is, her sister, when I would be there at her house, Joanne, back about 11, 12 years ago, I used to listen to WLW some at night, and I liked it. But there's this other good conservative talk show host that I like that is on during weeknights. And so what I like about that station is that most of the people who talk on there are local. At least that I've heard. I don't know who's on there during the day, but I feel like there has to be some funnies. And there was this one guy who, you know, they just have their own different personalities. Someday, Shelly, I don't know if you're going to think this is bold or not. One of these nights, very soon, I'm going to call into that Cincinnati radio station and ask them what I have to do to get a Waffle House built in Michigan.
Oh, okay.
And not only that, if he'll help me, if he tells me what to do. You say why Cincinnati? Because they're almost halfway down to headquarters. That's why Cincinnati. Headquarters is Atlanta. And for those of you who don't know me and have maybe gotten the idea about me, I am a Southerner at heart. I am. And the other thing, listeners, that I will say is I would say this. I would say that I'm kind of when I look at Cincinnati, I think of it as a place that is right in that middle, right in between North and South. So it's kind of a cosmopolitan, good mix right there. And so, it's a good one. It's a good one. What I mean is it's a good channel. They were the only station in America that ever got to broadcast at 500,000 watts back in the 30s. Unfortunately, though, people complained. I wish they were still doing that today. Honestly, I would not mind if they were the only radio station in America that came in. The only AM radio station in America that came in. That would almost be fine by me. Because he is a but anyhow, so now we're going to get into some worship, and then I want to get into the word of the Lord. So, Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily. Inside of me, I'm hungry for the move of God. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I long to see the hand of God move mightily. Inside of me, I'm hungry for the move of God. Oh, come, Lord. Come, Lord, move among us. We need your presence, oh Lord. Have your way in me. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily. Inside of me, I'm hungry for the move of God. Oh, come, Lord. Come, Lord, move among us. How we love your presence. Oh, have your way in me. Oh, Lord, come, Lord, come, Lord, move among us. How we love your presence. Oh, Lord, have your way in me. Nothing but your presence, nothing but your glory. Nothing but your perfect will be done in me. Nothing but your presence. Nothing but your glory. Nothing but your perfect will be done in me. I want to feel your heartbeat. Be consumed with your desire. Set ablaze, oh my God, with your holy fire. All I want is you. All I want is you.
All I want is you. All I want is you. All I want is you. I won't let anything else in. All I want is you. Nothing but your presence. Nothing but your glory. Nothing but your perfect will be done in me. I want to feel your heartbeat, yes I do, and be consumed with your desires. Set ablaze, oh my God, with your holy fire. All I want is you. All I want is you. All I want is you. I won't let anything else in. All I want is you. All I want is you. All I want is you. I won't let anything else in. All I want is you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that your hand is on us. You go before us. You hem us in. You always go before us. Thank you, God, that you always lead us to triumph. Always lead us to triumph. And all we have to do is to trust in you. Some trust in horses. Others trust in chariots. But I trust in you, the Lord my God. And I know, Heavenly Father, that you are the way. You are the truth. You are the life. Thank you, God, that your word is a light, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And thank you for our time in the Word tonight, for that you are revealing things to us through your Word as we study. And Holy Spirit, I give you permission to come in and come on board and do whatever it is that you want to do tonight. You can come and do whatever it is that you want to do, Holy Spirit. And I just thank you, Master, that you're meeting the needs of every listener on the show tonight. You know what their needs are, even when I don't know. You do know. I give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. And that you are just making a way when it seems like there is no way. You are making a way. And I thank you, Master, for that. In your matchless name, I pray. Amen. In the name of the Amen. And now I'll make my confession over this program. I claim that sponsors and partners are coming into this program, that increases in listenership are coming into this program, that finances are coming into this program. Most importantly of all, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great program. In your matchless name, amen and amen and amen. Amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Praise God. Acts 24. And we'll see what the Lord has for us for tonight. Now, this is where Paul goes into trial. You've got your Bible turn there. If not, just listen, pay attention, and catch up. I'm going to begin with verse 1. 5 days later, the high priest, Ananias, went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer that was named Tertullus. They brought their charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. We have enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation, everywhere and in every way. Most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this profound gratitude. But in order not to worry further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, causing riots against the Jews. Wait. We had just read this chapter. Go to 25. Sorry about that. Acts 25. Praise God. Let's try this again. Verse 1. 3 days after arriving in the province, Festus went up from Caesarea to Jerusalem, where the chief priests and Jewish leaders appeared before him and presented the charges against Paul. They urgently requested Festus as a favor to them to have Paul transferred to Jerusalem, for they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. Paul is being held at Caesarea, and I myself am going there soon. Let some of your leaders come with me and present charges against the man there, if he has done anything wrong. After spending the night or 10 days with them, after spending 8 or 10 days with them, he went down to Caesarea. And the next day, he convened the court and ordered that Paul be brought before him. When Paul appeared, the Jews who had come down from Jerusalem stood around him, bringing many serious charges against him, which they could not prove. Then Paul made his defense. I have done nothing wrong against the law of the Jews or against the temple or against Caesarea. Festus, wishing to do the Jews a favor, said to Paul, Are you willing to go up to Jerusalem and stand trial before men there? Inform me there on these charges? Paul answered, I am now standing before Caesarea's court where I ought to be tried. I have not done any wrong to the Jews. By the Jews, as you yourself know very well. If, however, I am guilty of doing anything deserving death, then I do not refuse to die. But if the charges brought against me by these Jews are not true, no one has the right to hand me over to them. I appeal to Caesar. After Festus had conferred with his council, he declared, you have appealed to Caesar. Caesar, you will go. A few days later, King Agrippa and Bernice arrived at Caesarea to pay their respects to Festus. Since they were spending many days there, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. He said, there's a man here whom Felix left as a prisoner. When I went to Jerusalem, the chief priests and elders of the Jews brought charges against him and asked that he be condemned. I told them that it is not the Roman custom to hand over any man before he has faced his accusers and has had an opportunity to defend himself against these charges. When they came here with me, I did not delay the case, but I convened the court the next day and ordered the man to be brought in. One of the accusers got up to speak. They did not charge him with any of the crimes that I had expected. Instead, they had some points of dispute with him about their own religion and about a dead man named Jesus, Paul claimed was alive. I was at a loss how to investigate such matters. So I asked if he would be willing to go to Jerusalem and stand trial there on these charges. When Paul made his appeal to be held over for the emperor's decision, I ordered him held until I could send him to Caesar. Then Agrippa said to Festus, I would like to hear this man myself. He replied, tomorrow you will hear him. Verse 23. The next day, Agrippa and Bernice came with great pomp and entered the audience room with the high-ranking officers and the leading men of the city. At the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. Festus said, King Agrippa, and all who are present with us, you see this man. The whole Jewish community has detentioned me about him in Jerusalem and here in Caesarea, shouting that he ought not to live any longer. I found that he had done nothing deserving of death. However, But, however, same thing. But he made his appeal to the emperor. I decided to send him to Rome. But I have nothing definite to write to His Majesty about him. Therefore, I have brought him before all of you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that as a result of this investigation, I may have something to write. For I think that it is unreasonable to send on a prisoner without specifying the charges against him. Then Agrippa said to Paul, chapter 26. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you have permission to speak for yourself. So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jews all know the way that I have lived ever since I was a child. From the beginning of my life in my own country, and also in Jerusalem, they have known me for a long time and can testify, if they are willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. Okay, it is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus, Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem on the authority, turning the page, of the chief priests. I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from synagogue to another to have them punished. And I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O King, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven. brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground. I heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goats. Then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up, stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen from me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light, and from the top power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First, to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also. I preached that they should prevent the turn to God. They should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance to their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and offered to kill me. But I have had God's help to this very day. And so I stand here and I testify, small and great alike. I am saying nothing to you. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen. That the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise, the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You are out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I'm not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied, turning the page. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophet? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time that you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray God that you only, for God, that not only you be all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. The king rose, and with him the governor and Bernice,
and those sitting with them. They left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, "This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment." Agrippa said to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." So, you see here, Paul was testifying about everything that had happened. He later determined that he would appeal to Caesar because the governor had said, and Agrippa, they had all said, you know, Paul's crazy. He just needs to be gone. So he should be either be killed or put in prison and just left there forever. Don't let him out. He was basically just either kill him now or just go send him to prison and let him rot there. But then they're like, you know, let me testify. So Paul goes, testifies, and explains what he had done. He explained how he used to be, how he used to be the persecutor. He used to be a persecutor, as I've told you multiple times. We've been reviewing. Paul used to be the persecutor. He got saved. He repented of his persecution. He repented of his casting votes to have people killed, trying to get people to blaspheme. He was like among the worst of the worst. He went from being among the worst of the worst to being a preacher. He went from being the worst of the worst to being a preacher. A bold preacher. A soul winner. At the end of his testimony, Paul asked, you know, to those who are sitting there with him, he's like, "And if you want to be what I am." But before that, Festus interrupts Paul. You remember little Paul's testimony? And he's like, "Paul, you're out of your mind. You're crazy. You're insane." Paul says, "Well, King Festus, I'm not insane." He's like, "I'm not insane." He's like, "In fact, what I'm telling you is true." You see, that's the kind of stuff we have going on in America. Around the world, you know, with this whole COVID thing and everything else, and different things. They'll call us one thing, and this and that, and they'll say, "Well, if you're a conservative, you're this. If you're But then Paul says, "Well, Festus, what I'm saying is actually true. And he finishes talking and asks, you know, "Would anyone like to be what I am? Any of you want to be saved?" They'll leave the room, start talking among one another and say, "You know what? Paul hasn't done anything wrong. He doesn't need to be locked up. He doesn't deserve to be put to death either. But then they say, if only he hadn't appealed to Caesar, he would have been set free. But the reason he appealed to Caesar is because he wanted to make sure, like, that he hadn't necessarily done anything wrong. He was like, well, if you find me guilty, then so be it. But he's like, if I'm not guilty, then, you know, I don't want to die. I don't want any of you to die if I'm not guilty. And he, and he was given the testimony of Jesus too, just like what Peter had been doing previously. And you see, Paul and Peter were two of the great leaders, in the body of Christ of that day. Paul, Peter. And they were calling people to repentance, calling people to repent of their sin, calling people to, you know, be forgiveness. And Paul had his big testimony of how he used to be. And I think of my pastor's son-in-law. He was incarcerated for years. But then, not too many years after I had gotten released from jail, he started coming to my church, fell in love with my pastor's daughter, Dawn. And then he's been running after God ever since then. So, and Paul has that boldness. And he wasn't trying to be mean. He was telling the truth. And some Christians will think, oh, that preacher's mean. That preacher's judging me. If it's a good, spirit-filled, fire-baptized, born-again preacher, and you go to that church, if you're not doing right, you should be convicted. But even sometimes if you are doing right for the most part, but you're just lacking a certain area or whatever, you know, then you should feel some conviction. And when we all need a little kick in the rear once in a while, a little bit of correction. And but we shouldn't feel all angry just because the preacher, you know, the pastor said something and we didn't like it, so we are going to run them off. But your pastor, it's a fire-baptized, spirit-filled, born-again pastor, and you go to a church like that, pastor is like that because he or she loves you. They care about your soul. They want you to make heaven. I care about your soul, listeners. I want you to make heaven. And if you're not right with God, you need to get right with God. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior,
ask him to come into your heart. Time is short. We're in the last of the last days, folks. Time to get serious about God. And for those of us who are right, time for us to get more serious than what we have been before about our walk with God. And, you know, pay attention to what he says. And talk to you a little bit more about the Holy Spirit conference tomorrow. But what I did listen to of it, it was awesome. It really was. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word tonight. I pray that we would get this word on the inside of us, that we would be bold, that we wouldn't just be these little pansies, these little wimps, that would be bold for you, that would be a light to people, that people would ask us questions about God, and that they would see that we have a smile because we know Jesus and we know that we'll go to heaven. Pray that people would see that in us and would ask us questions. In Jesus' matchless name. Amen and amen and amen. All right. So, about the Super Bowl, on Sunday you have Bengals versus the Rams. First Super Bowl for Stafford. First Super Bowl for George Burrow, for Joe Burrow of the Bengals. People across America are talking so highly of him. It's almost like they're making him sound like he could. It's almost like they're making him sound like he could be the next Tom Brady. Is he all that in a bag of chips? Well, I don't know. There's this guy who was talking on WLW, as I was listening last night, and he was mentioning about how usually he will pick the Super Bowl on the night before. And last year, going before the Super Bowl, he would ask various people, various waiters when he would go into restaurants and what have you. And it seemed like there was a lot of Chiefs fans. The Chiefs didn't win. So now it seems like kind of split. But a lot of people are praising Joe Burrow, thinking he's like the awesomest thing ever. I wonder if they're not doing that to Stafford because of where he played for 12 years in Detroit, where he won no playoff games, made it to 3 playoff games. Could have won one in 2014. Oh, but then the refs had to make a bad call in 2014 and steal that Lions game from us. Whew. Those refs, why did they do that? Okay, I don't know. I don't know. But that was 7 years ago, and so letting that go. But anyhow, so it's a good story. Two quarterbacks that have never won a Super Bowl before. Who knows how it'll go? Wednesday night, I'll have my pick. Do I have a certain team I would like? Maybe he could say so. Yeah. Am I going to come on here and be all biased? No, I'm not going to do the bias thing on this program. Wednesday night, I'm going to do that pick. It'll be based on it won't be based on my mind. It'll be based on a coin toss. That's how okay. We'll do the coin toss, and then I'll tell you who I actually think. All right, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.